Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I guess my question is, what is everyone's top priority? Is it making sure that we're creating jobs in the community that pay well, or is that top priority getting top dollar for this piece of land?
Well, I think both for me.
Both can't rank number one. They just can't.
So let me interject this, because I don't seem to be getting a chance to talk because everybody's just talking over themselves, and I'm trying to be patient about this damn thing.
Mr. Sterberg, if you'd please speak up.
So jobs, job numbers are pie in the sky. If we don't get off our duff and do something, we're never going to get those jobs. I want to sell the whole thing so we can start getting some tax revenue. I want to start creating jobs there. I've said this again and again. I'm an independent operator up here. I know exactly, and I've been polite.
Then we moved to February 3rd. The contract was submitted 15 minutes before the meeting began. Again, not really giving Allison or Wes time to digest that, to have a productive meeting. And then last night, we get another offer right before this meeting today, essentially $5 million less than we were on January 9th. So I feel like the board was a little bamboozled on this.
Yeah, so some interesting discussions about OLF 8, this big parcel of land just to the west of Navy Federal on 9 Mile, and the ongoing never-ending, it's like the never-ending story of Atreyu and the horse dragon or dog dragon trying to figure out what to do, and we can never quite figure it out. And basically, Steve Stroberger is the kind of strident voice you hear. District 1, it's his district. He beat Jeff Bergosh handily in the election, and he thinks it's his mandate to figure out what to do there. And he liked Beulah Town Center, and they were the ones that they were kind of working with. And, you know, there was a bit of a squabble in the middle about this whole issue of the five closings, and it kind of came to him sort of sounding like he was telling Ashley Hoffberger and maybe Stephen Berry that they should have known that this was part of the process.
Regulating plan that has four regulating plans,
right,
and then the major commercial middle. That's five.
So the answer is yes.
Correct.
Right? Yes.
Correct.
We all should know that. I knew that.
How do you know that when you don't have time to review the contract and read? We had
because
days
you have to understand the DPZ
else's
master plan to start with.
Well, but I'll be honest, I didn't have anything to do with
the master. I didn't realize until later. I'm sorry, Commissioner.
The master plan, the fact that it shows a phased out development doesn't have anything to do with title transfers and a property transaction. That's irrelevant.
So tempers are hot. This is having to do with whether the five phases of paying the $50 million or not is actually required by the DPZ master plan. As Stephen Berry is saying, it is not required. As the representatives for Beulah Town Center are saying, it's actually what we built our offers on. The commission was never going to go for this plan of $10 million at a piece every 18 months or whatever it was in order to eventually maybe get $50 million, because the least desirable parcels were parcels on the fourth and fifth chopping block. And if there's no guarantee that they would continue, the worry is you get to $30 million and quit, and then, you guys can keep the wetlands. You know, like, we don't need that part of the money, part of the property. So then the issue changed to, okay, we're going to have this meeting. We're going to have ongoing discussions with Beulah Town Center. Who's going to sit in the meeting? Somebody from the Escambia County Mission should sit in there. Escambia County Commission should sit in there. Steve Stroberger. I don't know all these names. Steve Stroberger is the one that's kind of been doing it, but it could be somebody else. And Mike Kohler, as the county commission chairman, was kind of giving an olive branch a little bit to Stephen Berry, District 5, and saying, look, you've been around the longest, you've come and gone on this, and you've been the one to say, we're never going to get there, we're going to give them back the edited version of the contract, they call it the red line, where we take out the things we don't want, and they're going to add it back in. And, you know, if you're the one who's the hang-up, let's have you in the meeting with, like, you know, Wes Moreno and Allison Rogers, the administrator and the attorney, talking with Beulah Town Center, let's have you in there, and then you can hash out your issues with them and really get it solved. And let's not have to come back here after they got a preliminary workout. Let's just solve it, right?
Commissioner Berry, I know that Commissioner Hoffberger and Commissioner Stroberger sat in on the first meetings. I'd like maybe you seem like you have the corporate knowledge. I think we all have skin in the game. At the next meeting, I think if you would be willing to do that, if you're open to continue the negotiations, I think it'd be useful to have someone else on the board so that we all see it through the prism of can we get there? You have a comment?
I'd be happy to do whatever the majority of the board would like. I'm also very comfortable with you know, with any of my colleagues sitting in there. Whatever y'all would like, I'd be happy to do.
And by the way, this has been a very new tone for Stephen Barry, Commissioner Barry, kind of this, I'll go along with whatever needs to be done since Jeff Burgosh got voted off the board, since they lost their three-vote block majority control. He's kind of, at least in the public meetings, he's very much taken this, well, whatever you guys want to do. And, you know, if he's sincere about that, great. If that's a show, I don't know. But, you know, it's certainly the right thing to be saying is I'll be willing to work with y'all.
I'm comfortable sitting in the meeting and shepherd this along because I think I'm the only one who really wants to shepherd this thing along.
That's Steve Stroberger. I'm the only one who knows, and I'm the only one who really wants to.
I don't mind that, Commissioner.
I don't think that's a fair statement at all.
Huh?
Yeah, that's kind of
that is a fair statement.
I want to see the project go forward.
That's kind of offensive.
Yeah, actually, Steve, I don't think it's against you. I just think since it's such a big deal, I think Commissioner Barry, with his time on the board, has some experience to be useful. I'm just saying that as a courtesy. But I know we can't do it except for one of us. But Steve, if you want to defer,
I would
Barry,
say that I probably understand the DPZ master plan as well as anybody else up here because I've been hearing a lot about it. I know that the people in Beulah understand the phased approach, so I don't know why we don't. So why do they and why do the developers and we don't? But I do. So I'd like to sit in that meeting.
I'm a Steve Stroberger fan. I know him. I like him. He's a capable, competent, decent person. I do think that he may be a little bit emotions on his sleeve at some times, and when he's passionate and he cares and he's unhappy and he's saying some things for which he's later going to apologize in the meeting, and I'll play that clip in a minute, but he's kind of said that he's the only one who's competent and or more so than the others, and he's the only one who cares enough, and he's got to be in the meetings, which is probably right since he's the District 1 commissioner, but I'm not sure this is the advice for how to persuade your fellow commissioners that Dale Carnegie had in mind. We'll come back to this in a second. PJ's got our traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NAS Pensacola continues to be a problem. There's a backup all the way down South Navy Boulevard and across Barrancas Avenue. There's also some congestion on Gulf Beach Highway as a result of that as well, so just be aware of that if you're headed that direction. Scrolling over to Navarre, they're still dealing with that vehicle crash with roadblock at Whispering Pines Boulevard and Navarre Parkway. And then finally, a vehicle crash at Lillian Highway and Joaquin Road in Pensacola. Roadway is clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to the Escambia County Commission meeting. And this is not like, this is a couple weeks ago, but I never had gotten a chance to cover it. And I want you to know how we got here because it's partly it's entertaining. Partly it's understanding your commissioners, knowing who they are and how they react in situations. And also it's just a knowing the story. And I know it's hard to track this story. There's a lot of moving pieces and a lot of changes over time, but it is a massive issue for the county of jobs and growth and investment and will we actually get our money back out of this project or not, because so many times we buy parcels or develop them, we say we will, and then they don't actually get developed. So back to the conversation about who's the most capable to sit in on the meeting, Stephen Barry.
What I'm very fearful of as one of the five of us is to willingly allow us to enter into a contract that becomes the source of future ridicule for us entering into that agreement. That is a fear, and those are the terms with which I'm just I only get one vote, so but I can advocate here just as well as in that private meeting. So if Commissioner Stroberger feels like he can be successful in there and advocate on the board's behalf, then that's fine.
Fear of future ridicule is real. They ought to have an acronym. F-O-F-R. FOFR is not quite as roll off the tongue-ish as FOMO, but okay, so so be it.
And Steve, I'm fine with you sitting in the meeting. I don't want anyone to think that because I was in there, that's why somebody's deal doesn't get done. I don't want that being perceived. So if you want to sit in there, that's fine with me, Mike. I appreciate the comments, but
I want a commissioner in there every meeting.
I'm fine with Steve sitting there. I don't have an issue with that, but I did appreciate your comments.
So kind of backing off of the need for him to be in there, put Steven Stroberger in there, Ashley Hoffberger, but Steven, again, it's his district, so why not? And then you have the folks from Beulah Town Center who, they're seeing all of this, and, you know, Brian Spencer is involved with them. Of course, former county commissioner, local developer, architect, you know, name, if you want to say it. You know, I know him pretty well. And he comes up and says, look, please don't make this impossible, because if you make this impossible, well, I'll let him say it.
We want to be your partner. I just can't say it any stronger. But please understand, we are also subjected and victims, just as you all are as government, in unexpected changes on a global level. So please don't put on anyone some sort of guarantee, because we'll just lie to you. We'll tell you that we can deliver 1,200 jobs so we can get the 5 unanimous vote. But that's not what's in my track record, is to lie and misrepresent, okay?
I simultaneously love the honesty that if you make it impossible, we'll just lie to you so we can get something done. At the same time, it's kind of weird for somebody to honestly tell you that they would lie. It's kind of weird. Kind of like I used to teach logic, and the old lady or the tiger, the door, or the, you know, somebody says, you know, A always tells the truth, and he says, another one says he's lying. You know, like the logic puzzle of, well, how do we take that? Anyway, I just thought it was a funny comment from Brian, and probably true. If you make the demands impossible for anybody, we'll just promise something that can't actually be done. And when we get all done, you'll be happy with the end result. Last two clips on the subject. And then, by the way, this is not going to resolve it, but we're getting close.
And the other thing is, so I'm issuing my, because my, I know my wife's watching.
This is Steve Stroberger.
I'm going to issue my second apology to the board here. I know we're all working on this. And my passion often comes out as anger. This is why when I was a young Marine, I was told I'm not allowed to touch anybody. In negotiations. It was in a class I had. I'll tell you about it later. But
don't leave me hanging. But okay.
But
yeah, please do.
I think we're going to move along. I think the progress is good. And Stephen, you know, if they think that they want, you know, I don't know. I hate the word diversity, but if they want you on there to kind of push it, then I'm happy to do that too. Okay.
I like that collegiality, and I like the apology. You know, as somebody who is pretty impulsive with his own speech, I'd certainly relate.
I think we got our due outs. You're going to meet with all the commissioners that are interested. We're going to go through some of the things that each have different skill sets with Wes and Allison. You got till the 25th. Let's see where we end up.
Yeah, so that seemed like where we were in the morning meeting. All good, working together despite some of the drama of getting there. Buell Town Center, we're going to work with them. We're going to figure out the contract. Then the night meeting took place, and I thought we were headed, you know, west of Denver on I-80, and all of a sudden, what you mean Chicago 80 miles? Like, what happened here? So, maybe I should have picked an I-10 metaphor. I thought we were, you know, headed west to L.A., you know, on I-10, and all of a sudden, Jacksonville, 100 miles. What? You know, so that is literally what happened between the early meeting and the late meeting. I'll tell you about that coming up next hour. 7:23 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
What is the one thing God will not forgive? After all, the Bible plainly explains that if we seek God's forgiveness, He will forgive sins such as lust, lying, and even murder. But the one sin that God will not forgive is the sin of unbelief. To refuse to believe in Jesus' virgin birth, or His sinless life, or His substitutionary death, or His resurrection from the dead, or to refuse to believe anything that the Scripture declares about Jesus, is to consign your own soul to an eternal hell. The good news of the gospel is a message of forgiveness of sin, but again, the one sin that God will not forgive is unbelief. Acts 16:31 says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved."
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of Northstone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, Escambia. Today, ECUA is talking trash.
Specifically, bulk waste.
July 1st, 2023, bulk service changed to call for pickup. Schedule a pickup by calling the ECUA customer service department anytime before 2 p.m. on the day prior to your normal pickup day. Bulk pickup is still included at no additional charge. Schedule a free bulk waste or special pickup for construction debris for an additional fee. Call customer service at 850-476-0480. More information at ecua.fl.gov.
Know what to throw, 850.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Pensacola Grand Mardi Gras Parade is Saturday, beginning at 2. Join in the true showcase of community spirit and celebration. Get all the info at PensacolaMardiGras.com. Sunday is the Mardi Gras Parade with Island Atmosphere. The crew of Rex Parade rolls at 2 on Pensacola Beach. See PensacolaBeachMardiGras.com. Find more events and submit yours at NewsRadio923.com.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hurry, Falcor! The Nothing's everywhere!
Don't worry. We'll reach the boundaries of Fantasia.
Do you know where they are?
I have no idea.
I so love our audience. I genuinely love you folks because somebody called up to simultaneously say, with dual purpose in mind, to call and tell PJ about some traffic incident and then to say, I expect Andrew to know the never-ending story better than that. Somebody texted me in, you mean Falcor, the dog dragon? How dare you say horse? Okay, fair enough. That's why I grabbed that clip for you. That's your reward. I love you guys. You're the best. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
All right. Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NAS Pensacola backed up down South Navy Boulevard all the way to Gulf Beach Highway, and there's some congestion on Gulf Beach Highway as a result of that. Taking a look over at Navarre, a vehicle crash with a roadblock, Whispering Pines Boulevard. That is where the actual vehicle crash is taking place. Navarre Parkway is still flowing smoothly, according to that caller. Looking at 8 Mile Creek Road and Mobile Highway, vehicle crash with a roadblock, so use caution in that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. I will also say this, for those of you who care, which will be some, but not all. I hate the Neverending Story. I'm sorry. If that's like your favorite childhood movie and you love Atreyu and the Dragon Dog and you know, whatever, here's what happened. There was two movies we could go to. I do not remember what the other one was, but it was me and my friend, and we were like maybe 15 at the time or 16. I forget how old we were. Too old for this movie. And we got forced by his mom to take, I think we were driving, so I might have been 16. Anyway, to take his younger brother to go see Neverending Story. So we as teenagers who wanted to see, and I don't, like I said, I don't remember, it was something like The Terminator, some action movie that we wanted to see. And we instead had to sit through the Neverending Story with his like 9-year-old brother. And so that movie is forever traumatizing to me. Almost as traumatizing as when my mother, for most of my life, promised that as soon as we got a house, like moved out of the townhouse, single mom, you know, limited resources. As soon as we got a house, we would get a dog. As soon as we got a house, we get a dog. As soon as we got a house, we'd get a dog. We got a house. Where's the dog? Oh, we're getting a cat. Mother, come. Single biggest betrayal of my young life by my dear, beloved mother. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? And it also had to do with something dog-related, you see?
It all ties together. The traumas of young Andrew
just
McKay.
Just trying to work some stuff out here on the radio, apparently.
A federal judge blocked the transfer of a dozen transgender female inmates to men's facilities yesterday. That was an expected part of President Trump's executive action ending DEI programs. The federal inmates had filed a lawsuit over concerns of losing access to medical care. U.S. District Judge Royce Lamberth ordered a temporary restraining order last week and extended that block yesterday. Immigration and Customs agents will for now be barred from targeting migrants in deportation stings at places of worship. Maryland U.S. Judge Theodore Chang handed down that order yesterday. One of President Trump's primary priorities has been to carry out mass deportations. And fabric and craft store Joanne Fabrics closing all of its locations. A liquidator has agreed to buy Joanne's assets, and going out of business sales are going to begin at stores soon.
Oh, somebody's reminding me that we need to go to our mascot for OLF8. So when we talk about it, we have the OLF8 unicorn because it'll never pay off, or the OLF8 snowman, the Pensacola snowman, because it only lasts a little while and isn't there when we really need it. I don't know. I haven't still settled on it. I did like the unicorn, though. That was kind of funny. But if it ever works out, it won't be a unicorn anymore. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, remember yesterday I was telling you about how The AP is suing President Trump to get access to the White House and to Air Force One, and because they won't say Gulf of Mexico, or they won't say Gulf of America, they want to say Gulf of Mexico, and they are now suing. And I told you this is a terrible lawsuit.
Cough.
Pardon me. And I said it's a terrible lawsuit. Even though I think Trump is in the wrong, you can't force him to give you access. I still think that, but I did check, and apparently, yes, the First Amendment Congress has been used to apply to the courts and to the presidency, the executive branch as well. They cannot stifle you based on viewpoint. I still think they're going to lose this lawsuit. Oh, I think Trump and the White House press secretary are wrong for excluding them, but I think they're going to lose this lawsuit. And they did. They asked for a preliminary, force us to be in there, and the judge declined. That really doesn't mean anything. These preliminary either enjoiners or injunctions or whatever don't really count for much, but that's where we're at. Chip Simmons is up next.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. They're told officially it's voluntary, but Elon Musk is warning federal employees who ignored a midnight deadline to provide a list of recent work accomplishments.
The response rate was pretty low, and so this is what's coming next. Musk says, subject to the discretion of the president, they, federal workers, will be given another chance. Failure to respond a second time will result in termination.
Fox's Peter Ducey. There could be a House vote on a spending plan today that also addresses Trump priorities like border security, immigration, and energy policy.
This framework calls for $1.5 trillion in spending cuts and more than $4 trillion in tax cuts. Representatives Tim Burchett, Victoria Spartz, and Thomas Massie all say they're voting no because they don't think the plan reduces spending enough, and there are moderates who are worried about potential cuts to programs like Medicaid as well.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3, 53 and sunny right now in Pensacola. Lillian Woman has been sentenced to 13 years in prison for the fatal hit-and-run crash back in 2022 that killed a bicyclist. Rachel Johnson received a 13-year prison sentence in court last Tuesday. That crash happened in October 2022 on Sorrento Road near Blue Angel Parkway. FHP says Johnson hit two bicyclists from behind. A 44-year-old man died at the scene. A 40-year-old man was taken to the hospital. Prosecutors say Johnson fled the scene but was later found at her home in Lillian. Well, last week, our District 1 State Representative Michelle Salzman filed a bill that would lower the age to buy a gun from 21 to 18. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson weighed in on that possible change yesterday.
My thought process is this. You know, I went in the military when I was 18. As soon as I got out of high school, I went in the military. So, and at 18, I was able to give my life for my country if necessary, but I couldn't buy a beer or I couldn't buy a gun. Well, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, if you're old enough to go in the military and fight for the country, you should have all the rights that an adult has in America.
Johnson was on Pensacola's Morning News yesterday. He says people that want a gun can generally find one, whether it's purchased legally or not. He says people that would use the gun for a nefarious purpose would likely purchase it illegally anyway. Florida is one of only 8 states across the U.S. that require a long gun purchaser to be 21. The bill could be discussed by lawmakers during the upcoming legislative session. The SS United States is now on the tail end of its final journey. The ship is being maneuvered around the Florida Peninsula, and it should arrive in Mobile soon. Once it gets to the port of Mobile, final preparations will begin to make it safe to sink as the world's new largest artificial reef. Now, that would include removing paint and asbestos, preparing the ship to land upright when it sunk. The final voyage did face several delays. It left Philadelphia, though, finally last week. Okaloosa County purchased the SS United States for $10 million. They expect it to have a $3 million economic impact on tourism. The ship is expected to be sunk about 20 nautical miles to the south of Destin. Governor DeSantis was in Tampa yesterday to announce the creation of the Florida State Department of Governmental Efficiency.
In our budget, we are proposing an elimination of 740 state government positions. And so we already have the smallest footprint of any state, and we're pruning even more. And that's 740 on net, because we do have to add positions in certain areas.
DeSantis says the goal is to find ways to eliminate waste within the state government, save taxpayers money, and ensure accountability. He expects the state DOJ to abolish about 70 boards and commissions, many of which he says haven't met or even had any appointments in several years. He says it'll also use AI to uncover hidden waste and bloat. The governor also plans to support the federal DOGE program by returning unused federal dollars that have been allocated to the state. 735 at News Radio 92.3. PJ's got our traffic.
Traffic's brought to you by Jerry's Drive-In, home of the original bacon cheeseburger for 86 years. Open Monday through Saturday in East Pensacola Heights, Jerry's Drive-In. Taking a look at the big board, things are quite busy right now. South Navy Boulevard still backed up from the front gate of NAS Pensacola all the way to Gulf Beach Highway, and a little bit of congestion on Gulf Beach Highway as a result of that. There's also that vehicle crash with a roadblock at 8 Mile Creek Road and Mobile Highway. Roadblock in that area, so just use some extra caution. And finally, getting reports of I-10 westbound, or actually eastbound rather, at Pine Forest Road. A little bit of a backup there for some reason, so just be aware of that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with plenty of sunshine, high near 72 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 50 degrees. Keeping sunshine around on Wednesday with a high near 72. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 55. On Thursday, small chance of a stray shower, 30% overall. Otherwise, just partly cloudy skies with a high near 72 and a low near 47. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 53 in Pensacola, 53 in Gulf Breeze, 50 in Milton. We've got sunshine and a beautiful morning. Your next news at 8 o'clock and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Jennifer Scorto with Your Money Now. The chief executive of Unilever, which owns ice cream brands such as Ben & Jerry's and Magnum, has stepped down after less than 2 years. Heinz Schumacher will be replaced by Unilever's chief financial officer, Fernando Fernandez, on March 1st, according to the company. Shares of Planet Fitness, Inc. gained slightly in pre-market trading today as the first price increase in 25 years, and consumers' continued focus on health and wellness set the stage for the fourth quarter earnings beat. Eli Lilly released higher doses of its weight loss drug, Zepbound, in single-dose vials at as much as half of its usual monthly list price to reach more patients without insurance coverage. Consumers can now get 7.5 and 10 milligram vials for $499 per month. Futures are down as the Dow Industrial finished up yesterday, 33. The NASDAQ down 237. S&P 500 also down 29. And that's Your Money Now.
Guys, ever had a bad experience in the bedroom that totally threw you off? It messes with your head, your confidence, and suddenly it's all you can think about. Next thing you know, you're avoiding trying altogether because the fear of failure is just too much. That's where Wave Men's Health comes in. Their providers have been helping men overcome ED and providing hope even when the pills and other treatments have failed. Their proven personalized treatments have some of the highest success rates out there. No awkwardness, no judgment, just real results that bring back your confidence and that connection. It's important to get your ED treated quickly so that it doesn't get harder to treat down the road. Wave Men's Health has treatments that online pharmacies only dream about. Tonight is your night for intimacy and connection. Call Wave Men's Health today at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Your consultation is discreet and could be the start of something incredible. 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com and let's make tonight unforgettable. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
Looking for the perfect kitchen, bath, or flooring? At Home Outlet, we don't just promise the guaranteed lowest price, we back it up.
Yeah, but how low are we talking?
We'll beat any competitor's price by 10%.
That's wow. But okay, what makes your store better?
Funny you should ask. We're 100% employee owned. Everyone here has a stake in making your home projects affordable and stress-free.
So I'm getting expert advice, unbeatable prices, and I'm supporting employees who actually care?
Exactly. Why shop anywhere else? Home Outlet, kitchens, baths, floors, and more at the guaranteed lowest price. Visit us at homeoutlet.com today.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
We'll be right back.
Good morning, 7:39 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons, is here in studio with us. Sheriff, welcome back, sir. Good to have you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Let's talk with, you know, let's talk about the bad things that have happened. We had in McDavid just, I think it was last Tuesday, so kind of after we had our regular weekly interview, we had a homicide take place in McDavid, right?
Yeah, we had two guys that decide that one's going to sell some marijuana, one's going to buy some marijuana, and we believe both of them were being disingenuous. Both of them were trying to rob the other. Ultimately, one of the guys pulled out a handgun and shot a couple times into the abdomen of the victim. Victim was later pronounced dead, and the suspect, I don't recall his name right now because I don't want to glorify him anyway, but he fled into the wooded area. We deployed our canines and set up a perimeter, and he realized he was not going to get out, so he gave himself up. So we are charging him with the homicide.
Daytime, nighttime?
I believe it was nighttime.
So you guys have drones, right? You use drones with IR, I assume?
Mm-hmm.
So did it happen to be needed in this case?
I don't know that we deployed the drones in time. It takes a lot of time
To
get drones out there. We had canines and set up the perimeter pretty quickly.
Gotcha. What do you have, two, three across the county?
Oh, the drones you mean?
Yeah.
Or canines?
Canines is like 10 or 12, right?
We have like 16.
Oh, okay.
Canines, yeah.
All right.
The drone program, we were working to getting a drone on every shift so that whenever, and every shift means every days and nights.
Yeah.
And also one on the north end, one on the south end. At all times.
Right.
So we're working on it. We have about four now. We can deploy two of those pretty quickly, but we have to call a drone operator. There's a lot of rules.
Sure.
Now, as you know. But we're working on getting more people certified, and we're constantly meeting with different vendors on the right drone. We have a drone specific to SWAT. We have a couple of drones specific to perimeters and searching.
Sure, because what SWAT may need it for isn't going to involve other things that you wouldn't need for just plain surveillance or, you know, search and rescue, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the SWAT should be able to deploy gas and audio and video type of stuff. While
go inside rather than just fly over all that, right?
Yeah, and we're not deploying drones just to patrol people's backyards. What we're doing, we're using for missing, endangered individuals or children, and then we obviously use it for setting up perimeters.
Do you see a future where, you know, every deputy's got an AR-15 and a drone in the trunk?
I can certainly see a future where there are drones deployed, perhaps from a central station or central locations.
Okay.
Every time a 911 call, this is just my thoughts.
Yeah.
Whenever a 911 call is brought into the dispatch center, then they can deploy a drone. Whether it's a traffic crash, you can get a good look at what the scene looks like.
Yeah.
It helps you deploy additional units there. I don't know that they will replace. A person on the street that can help and can think logically, but I think that with technology there are certainly some applications where you can, you know, I talk a lot about this intersection because of our real time crime center, this intersection of technology and manpower, and I think you need both, and I think that you can maximize our efficiency by understanding where we're going.
So kind of a dispatch response tool more than a like search and rescue or particular crime fighting, but like, you know, you've got cameras in the real-time crime center,
right?
And you can obviously look on those, but if there's no camera on the road stretch or intersection and you need to get a picture of it, hey, you know, throw a drone out there while the officers are responding. I mean, that's kind of what I hear you saying.
Yeah, well, I mean, to think about that, again, we have drones that have the cameras and we can see them through the real-time crime center.
Mm-hmm.
So the drone can be deployed and can get there in a matter of minutes or even obviously within a minute if it's close.
Right.
And then the deputies that are responding can see the scene. They can see perhaps a suspect leaving. They can see a car. They can see, the need for an ambulance. They can see if there's a fire. They can see a lot of things that will help us to make the most appropriate response.
Just don't pull me over with a drone.
I don't know.
Future, yeah.
You know, I don't know if we get that
give
far.
Us a couple of years, not
you
quite
know,
there yet.
Sometimes you think about, you know, have I lived too long type
I know,
of things.
Right?
You know, are we ready for that sort of thing?
Is that Escambia County Sheriff's Office or Eglin in my rearview mirror? You know, who's trailing me at this point? We also had, roommate versus roommate stabbing on Sunday. Is that right?
We had this happen on Sunday. We had a guy named Joshua Welch. Joshua Welch had a roommate, and during a disturbance, he stabbed his roommate, and then he also fled into the woods. Apparently, it's kind of cool nowadays to just flee into
the woods
thinking that you can get out. Well, if you recall, on Sunday night, it was raining quite heavily. We did set up a perimeter on that at that time, but we weren't able to find him. So We broke down our perimeter, and then we heard from a resident, I'm trying to figure out where it was, not too far away, saying, hey, we think there's a guy in the woods behind our house. So we obviously reestablished our perimeter in that location, and we sent out our dog in there, and we ended up arresting this guy as well. So our canines did a jam-up job over the last couple of days, last week, and we ended up arresting and charging two, one stabber and one shooter.
You know, it's. I think you and I had talked about it when it happened, but it reminds me of in our neighborhood a couple of years ago, there was somebody that you guys were pulling over and, you know, not even in our neighborhood. It was like, you know, a couple streets over kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And they fled from the scene on foot. And if I remember correctly, it might have even been somebody like that had the orange jumpsuit, like they were at some kind of a custody transfer, whatever. Anyway, so this person was like running through the neighborhood and, you know, my wife and all the other neighbors are out there, you know, basically on next door and talking with you guys. Hey, he's over here, you know, like, you know, you can't hide behind that tree.
Well, you know, and those are some of the things that you see on television where, you know, a cop's following someone and you make a corner and you say, if you see the guy running around here, and they'll point one way or the other, or they'll just act like they ignore you. Well, a lot of times people do help us, you know, that they understand that we're chasing someone on foot, or if it's a vehicle pursuit and they bail out of the car, and then we get there and they're like, he went around, you know, back there. They want to get the bad guy caught. And
right.
Obviously, that's a good thing about living in the South.
It's no, that's exactly right. We're talking to Scambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. We'll be back to that, back to him in just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives. PJ?
Thanks, Andrew. The front gate of NAS Pensacola once again backed up down South Navy Boulevard all the way to Gulf Beach Highway. Gulf Beach Highway seeing some heavier congestion than usual as a result of that. Taking a look over here at 8 Mile Creek Road at Mobile Highway, there is a vehicle crash. There's currently no roadblock, but the traffic there is a little bit heavier as well. And then finally, 9 Mile Road at University Parkway, there's a vehicle crash there as well. Traffic still flowing smoothly, though. So I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. And we got an update. Six drones is what you guys
six
had?
Drones. Six drones. Yeah, I got a text from.
How fast
from
are they?
Chief, well, they're faster than I am.
Okay.
Which is saying something, right? Oh, I mean in my car.
Yeah. I'll let you own that one. That's fine. You were the running back. Sheriff Simmons, a couple other things I wanted to ask you about. One is I had seen this on Facebook, and I know you love to be able to dispel, you know, misperceptions or whatever. You expanded when you first came on as sheriff. You wanted to expand substations, and you did one at Walnut Hill, Cantonment area, and one in Perdido Key. But somebody's like, I don't know, the sheriff doesn't have any people at this substation in Perdido Key. Your answer?
Yeah, well, I got to take you back. A couple years ago, we used to have a substation or a precinct in Perdido and in Walnut Hill. And then they closed those before I got to the sheriff's office. And I said, you know what, we could use those. I like the feel of having someone in an area where they can go and have meetings and people, the people that are assigned there understand that particular location. So speaking specifically to those two precincts, when I opened them up, I didn't want to just open up for the sake of opening up. I want to make sure that we had the manpower there. Well, we have a north and a south, and then we have those two precincts and others. But for the sake of this conversation, we have two other precincts. And what they were doing, they were still filling it with a north and south units because we didn't have enough.
I got you.
Magically
okay.
Have more deputies.
So they were borrowing from the hood
north and
drive
south.
Or the
right. Perdido. We just separate carved those out is what we did. And so technically they weren't assigned to the Perdido, but we did have a lieutenant assigned to both of those so they can handle some community issues that we have, unique community issues in both those locations. The thought was that as we get caught up with our police academy, and that we can start to fill those positions. So I'm happy to say that in about 30 days or by the end of March, we will have 4 more deputies assigned to Perdido and 4 more assigned to Walnut Hill, and then bring those back into the north and the south. So we will have the additional manpower. It's just taken us a while to get these positions filled up. So we're almost at a point now where we can get that, and then we'll continue to fill both the north and the south as needed.
Very good. Mardi Gras parade coming up this Saturday. Now, that's in the city, but you guys, do you guys help with the city one, or do you mostly let that be PPD?
We will help this year.
Okay.
We've been in conversations. The mayor called and said, asked if we had some people that we could
gotcha.
Help them with. And it's in the county, so we, you know, I do have an obligation as a sheriff for the entire county to help where help is needed. So we will help them. I don't get into talking too much about security.
Sure.
I'll leave that up to the Pensacola Police Department on what they want to put out. But for the first time, maybe forever, you will see uniformed deputies helping out with the two parades in downtown Pensacola.
And not just in the parade, but actually working security for the parade. Because you guys are obviously right. always at the front of the parade with the horses and the motorcycles and all
near
that kind
the
of
front,
stuff.
Yeah.
Near the front,
yeah.
Fair enough. But the beach parade is not a Pensacola City. That's a you guys only. And just kind of, I had not been thinking about this, but since Bourbon Street, of right. course, we all think very differently about these public events. And certainly, in terms of physical ability to discourage anything like that, the ability in streets with blocks and buildings is much easier to defend than, say, Via de Luna, which is very hard to protect in a grand scale scheme like that, right?
It is. It would be easier to block off sidewalks and roadways if you consider what you're talking about with Bourbon Street. And you always know that where there's a will, there's a way. You know, yeah. we always know that if there's a big ball game or in a high school football game, anything where crowds can gather, whether it's whatever event you have
right.
On a weekend night or graduation or again, any football games. But you consider what could happen, you know, and you take steps to maybe eliminate some of those threats. So in regards to the beach, again, I don't get into specific details, but I will tell you that the parade route's only 0.7 miles. So it's less than 1 mile, and it's one road.
Sure.
But there are a lot of driveways, a lot of side streets. But we do have barricades, and we will have 50 deputies there in just that 1 mile parade.
Wow. Okay.
And we will have a lot of them in a vehicle prepared to take action if it's needed. So we have taken into consideration what took place in New Orleans, as you would. You know, just because something doesn't happen in Escambia County doesn't mean we don't look at that and critique that and do a what if that were to happen here. That's the whole basis for these tabletop exercises on whether it's hurricane, or whether it's, some sort of another weather event, a tornado like we've had a couple of weeks ago, or if it's just a large gathering, like we have at the beach for the 4th of July or the Blue Angel Air Show or even the fair. So we always critique these things and look for ways to better, promote the safety of Escambia County.
Okay. And, I'm inclined to ask other questions because in my mind, I'm thinking through some of the possibilities mm-hmm. and, I'm thinking about, well, let's put a dude up on the condo with the Barrett, but at least, the physical ability to intercede with the Tahoe is a big deal. And, that's, you have to think that way because you can't put up, there are not enough physical barriers that it makes sense to. So no, I appreciate that you guys are thinking about that. And right. I certainly won't ask you to get into any more details than that. I did want to ask you, though, one thing is you're doing a civilian firearms training course.
Right.
First time?
I think we had one maybe last year.
Okay.
A little shorter version of it. There was a state grant, if you recall,
to put
these things on. So we put in for the grant. Anytime we can help our citizens with gun safety, I'm a fan of protection,
right.
Protecting yourself and your family. And so if we had some funds available for overtime and our deputies love to do it. And so we do put this thing on as often as we can. And again, it filled up pretty quickly, which I love. I just love the fact that we can give some hints and some pointers to people with and just reminders, really.
Yeah.
And you and I talk about it all the time. Just because you can carry concealed doesn't necessarily mean that you're good at it.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you can have, every time you step out of a car, a gun flops down on the ground. You're probably more danger than helpful to others. So to do this, and many people don't need it. People practice on their own. Some people are very handy with a weapon. But if you want it, then obviously we made it available and hopefully to continue to do this.
Very good. I like that. I'm not going to have time to ask you about the Dream Big Academy you just had, but we'll maybe talk about that next week. Another big success, things that you guys are always doing for community outreach. But I did want to give you a chance to talk. You mentioned a moment ago gun ownership and the usefulness of it in the community. Of course, Michelle Salzman, who you know very well, has filed a bill to legalize 18, 19, 20-year-olds buying long guns, rifles and shotguns in Florida. Whether it passes or not is another question. Your perspective on, under 21s having access to long barrels and it's not your purview to change, but even, handguns, right, which they can't legally purchase under federal law, but could be transferred in any way. So just wanted to give you a chance to comment because it's a public policy issue.
Yeah, I think that you take a look at these things from a common sense standpoint. I look at them from, does it make sense that you can go to war and carry a gun, but you can't buy one in the state of Florida. To me, that makes I can't connect those two dots. The second thing is I look at and see, is that something that we're seeing? Do we see, in this case, I'm talking about shotguns and long guns or rifles, are we seeing homicides? Are we seeing our shootings with conducted with long guns and rifles? While we do see some, that's not most by far and away the majority of our shootings are used by handguns.
Yeah,
and so I don't know that it's going to impact that very much at all. I can't say that it will if you base it on statistics, but again, the common sense approach to it is, hey, is this how is it okay for me to send you off, you know, to war to defend our country, but you can't come home and buy a shotgun to go dove hunting or mm-hmm. or deer hunting, whatever kind of hunting you want to do with it. I would probably. I always err on the side of personal freedoms and Second Amendment rights, and so I would probably support that.
And I think I might have said it yesterday. I was talking to Bob Johnson about this, but, you know, in my mind, it's the 19-year-old woman who's living on her own, and I want her to be able to chamber that shotgun as deterrence for sound and fire it if she needs to. I don't want her to have to depend on the kindness of strangers. You know,
yeah, you
for
know,
her personal
safety. The racking of a shotgun is a unique sound.
Yeah.
And I would imagine it's even more impactful when you're a criminal.
You know, it has a powerful, discouraging effect, I would think, on what people are willing to do. Sheriff Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Simmons, thank you so much for the time. I super appreciate it. And in case people don't know what we're talking about, let's give them the one chance.
Let me explain.
That'll do it. Sheriff, I will talk to you again next week.
All right, y'all take care.
All right, 756 News Radio 92.3, PJ's got traffic on the fives.
All right, thanks, Andrew. Looks like South Navy Boulevard, there is still a backup from the front gate of NAS Pensacola down South Navy Boulevard to about Sunset Avenue right now. Also taking a look at the big board, vehicle crash with a roadblock, 8 Mile Creek Road and Mobile Highway. Actually, it's saying that the roadblock from that area has been cleared as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey. Get the GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at NewsRadio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me.
Good morning, 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? There we go.
Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents will, for now at least, be barred from targeting migrants in deportation stings at places of worship. Maryland U.S. District Judge Theodore Chang handed down that order yesterday. And the Office of Personnel Management delivering new guidance on that email they sent to government employees. They say Workers will now have another chance to respond.
Oh, the theory on its non-existing employees turns out to be false because you had to give a certification of your email existing first and then answer.
Listen
later.
On air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3. WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.
Doge is now coming to the state of Florida. Well, more on that right after this update from Fox News at News Radio 92.3.
Federal workers are told again to send an email. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News, and it's again from Elon Musk at Doge. In a post on X last night, as the deadline passed for government employees to reply to an email demanding that they list their five accomplishments on the job last week. That was from earlier. As for the new demand, Fox's Madeline Rivera reports.
There's a lot of confusion regarding this directive. Elon Musk says while there is a second chance to respond, failure to answer again will result in termination this time. But the Office of Personnel Management says agencies will be the ones to review responses and evaluate non-responses.
And the personnel office also says replying is voluntary, not mandatory. Days after the Senate approved a budget resolution, the House is readying a bigger blueprint.
The bill includes over $300 billion in border and national security, as well as $4.5 trillion in tax cuts and $2 trillion in spending cuts. Republican Tim Burchett of Tennessee says he's currently a no because he doesn't think the bill does enough to curb spending.
All that money is going to be, we're going to send it right over to the Pentagon. The war pimps are just locked, they're licking their chops.
Republicans can only afford to lose a few votes because of their slim House majority.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz at the Capitol, and he mentioned the border. Illegal crossings are way down. The head of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, says we just had the least migrants stopped in a day in 15 years. Meanwhile, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth goes to Guantanamo today, and Fox's Griff Jenkins reports.
17 high-threat illegal aliens are currently being held there. Now, DHS not outlining what crimes the 17 committed, which make them high threat, but we know that Interior ICE arrests are up over 130%, and arrests have included matches to the terror watch list, convicted murderers, child rapists, and known members of gangs.
But in the Los Angeles area, some activists are warning immigrants about raids, even putting up posters of federal agents showing their pictures and putting out their personal info. America's listening to Fox News.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news. A CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose. And millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138. Visit Prevnar20.com or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Vivek Ramaswamy for president didn't work out in 2024.